I'm George Flynn. You're watching In-Depth TV, and I've got with me a very special guest. He's on here to help educate you, me, and let us know about what's going on in government. He's chairman. Now, we call him Mr. Chairman of the City Council, Chairman Boyd. Hello, welcome. Welcome to be here with us, and thank you very much. I know you've got views of government, and views of what Memphis and Shelby County and the whole area is supposed to happen. What kind of things, how did you get here first? Did you grow up here? We want to know just a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Glad
I think
you're
it's
here.
Always an honor to be with you and be around you.
Good to see you again.
Yes, sir. Well, I am a native Memphian, grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, in the fine community, neighborhood of Whitehaven, graduated from Whitehaven High School. Mm-hmm. And I've been a part of the Memphis community all my life. Started out in the political process and working in political campaigns at an early age.
You did?
I was 4 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was bit by the bug of public service and understanding getting out in the community and helping and seeing how the political process actually could impact people's lives. After going away for college and coming back to Memphis, I thought that I wasn't going to ever get involved again in politics. But I had a real in-depth call to serve. Wanted to see how I could make a difference in people's lives. And Memphis is such a great city.
It is, but
it's one of those cities where we have such great potential, but it's underutilized. And so I felt like not sitting on the sidelines anymore, that it was my responsibility as a citizen here in the city of Memphis that I should get involved and get active. So a seat came available on the city council back in 2011. It was held by then Councilwoman Barbara Swearingen Holt. I went for her replacement to become her replacement, and I got the appointment. Got a chance to serve with your son, with Shay, and learned a lot. I mean, it was seeing government from a different perspective. You have a tendency of saying, well, if I was ever in a seat or if I was ever there, I would do this and do it like that. And you start understanding that government works in a different way than the way you actually think it should go. Then I did not seek re-election for that interim position. And I was appointed again in 2015 for the same seat. For the same seat. First person in Memphis history to ever be appointed to the same position twice.
Well, and for those of you that don't know, running an election is very difficult. Getting an appointment is even more difficult because you only have, 12 other voters or 11 other voters?
You have actually 12 other voters.
You only got 12 voters.
Yeah.
And you say, that's easy. No, that's not easy.
It's challenging. Yeah. It's challenging because the key is just knowing that who you can actually get to support you. And that's always a challenge. And I was very honored that my colleague saw fit to appoint me to that position. And then at that point, I said, I'm going to run for it. And it was definitely an eye-opening experience.
Running the campaign is an eye-opening.
Oh, man, it is. You have more respect. You gain more respect for individuals who even decides to go out and run for office.
Just getting the petition signed is hard.
Yeah. Getting your 25 signatures. You never get just 25 signatures.
No.
You always get more because there are people that say they live at this address, but they're registered someplace else. And so it's always challenging. You learn a lot. The neat thing is going out, meeting new people and meeting the neighbors and meeting the people within the community and getting a chance to listen and hear some of the issues that they face. And being able to be that voice of reason. I tell people all the time that being on the city council allows me an opportunity to have a stage, just a platform to be vocal and to vocalize the issues in which Memphians and people that I represent have. And so I think that at least you draw attention, you bring attention, and also you can bring a level of action to gain results for those individuals that need your help.
And from what I've heard is when you talk to people, you don't just say, oh, I'm going to go with my opinion. You actually listen. And that's the beauty of it. You listen to people, and then you make up your mind. And if enough people come to you, you will go with what they say rather than what you really want to do yourself. You represent the people.
Right. It's about, you know, one thing I've learned early on in life and in applying this to politics is all about compromising. And I don't care whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, whether you're independent, libertarian, it's all about people coming together, working together, trying to find the best and or the right solution for whatever the problem may be. So when I come, I don't think I have all the answers. No one has all the answers. So I may be looking at things from a different perspective. And someone may come to me and say, hey, have you thought about it this way? And so I want to listen to your opinion and your whatever you have to recommend. And so I'll take that and I'll sit down, I'll reread it, I'll rethink it, and I'll write out pros and cons. And I'll say, okay, should I focus and go with my gut feeling? Or this person just gave me some invaluable information, right, and I think I changed the way I'm going to vote on this.
You get a real education there. There's a project going on called the Riverfront Development, and you've got ideas about it, and I see some kind of controversy here. Tell us a little bit about the Riverfront Development.
Well, it's really unique. That's our gateway to the city of Memphis. The mayor calls it our front porch. It is really underutilized, and the one thing that a lot of people say, well, we're focused on you know, downtown. No, we're focusing on building and rebuilding strong neighborhoods. In order to survive in life, and I always go back to a metaphor, I consider our downtown as our heart. And if you're a healthy person, you have a healthy, strong heartbeat, which pumps blood throughout the arteries, throughout your body, which allow you to have movement. And so that's the same thing with the city. The core of downtown Memphis is our heart. And if we have a strong, vibrant downtown, then what happens is things become infectious. Things start growing outwardly. And then we can start seeing some of these inner city neighborhoods that's so close and so near to downtown, such as North Memphis, areas of South Memphis. So now we can start refocusing and rebuilding our inner city neighborhoods. So I think it's going to be a outwardly growth that we will start seeing. Service Master proved to us in Memphis something great. More and more companies want to relocate because millennials, they love working downtown. Love working and playing downtown. So I think that you will start seeing more companies wanting to relocate into downtown Memphis. I think you will see more residents, more businesses, restaurants coming into downtown. But the one unique component that this Riverfront Development Plan is pushing and urging is a way to attract everyone, no matter where you live, mm-hmm. to our riverfront. We want you to be able to come down there and have programming, have things to do, places to sit, more inviting places you can go in and say you want to kayak down the Wolf River Harbor. You have those amenities. And so I think it's going to be a great thing, not only for Memphis, but I think it's going to be a great thing for this entire region and for these neighborhoods that we're trying to redevelop and rebuild.
You mentioned North Memphis, and there's an area, and for those of you that may be out of state that don't know, there's an area called the Pinch District. And didn't that come from the Irish or something like that?
It did. It was heavily populated by the Irish, and at one point in time in Memphis, you know, Memphis was only a small radius, square right. blocks. But now the Pinch District is a roughly seven blocks, and it's on the northern side of downtown. And that's all the area in which I represent, District 7. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate enough to have now Bass Pro, which is in the pyramid.
Right.
We're about to redevelop the Cook Convention Center, investing over $60 million into redeveloping that structure. There are some things there that was outdated and could not maintain and keep attracting more conferences to the city. So now we're about to fix that and give it an upgrade so we can get more conventions to the city of Memphis. But also the unique part about what's going on in the Pence District is the fact that we have a jewel called St. Jude there.
We do, and it's expanding.
It's expanding. With the overall investment that St. Jude is making in Memphis, it's a roughly $9 billion expansion.
Now, you heard that that was B.
Yeah,
B. $9 billion.
Yeah. That was B, not M, but it was B, $9 billion. That's the investment of new structures. That's the investment of bringing new employees into the city of Memphis, growing the Memphis economy. That's really invaluable to have an entity that helps as many young people survive and fight cancer, and they're right here in our backyard. Not only that, we just sanctioned, and the council will have a chance in the next couple months to approve an actual Pinch District redevelopment plan. Mm-hmm. This will be the first time we've ever adopted a real plan for a community or an area. I'm excited about that. And we want the Pinch District, the stakeholders in the Pinch District, this is not the government saying, this is what we want you to have. These are stakeholders and business owners, business leaders saying, this is what we want the Pinch District to look like.
And then you're taking their wants and their needs and helping effectuate that and helping bring that to pass.
Exactly. We are compiling the information. We've had neighborhood meetings, working along with HCD Director Paul Young. The mayor's administration's been helping us out. And we've been basically facilitating and going through putting all this, compiling all this data. LRK is the architect. It's a great looking plan, and I'm excited about it. You know, it's really unique to see an area that will go and become a place that you can live, work, and play. You will have mixed-use developments where you have shops, storefronts, restaurants, mm-hmm. and residential on top. So I think it's a win-win, not only for Memphis, but it's growing our economy, but it'll be a win-win for this region as well.
Well, that sort of leads us into tourism and the tourism development zone. And how do those work? And we hear a lot about that, the TDZ, and what is that? If you would explain that and where those zones are and what your feeling is about those.
Well, I think TDZs are great, which is the tourist development zones. And basically what it does is it allows the city of Memphis and cities within the state of Tennessee to capture dollars spent within these zones. Right now, our TDZ is located in the downtown corridor. Yeah. It's from the pyramid, which some of the areas in Harbortown is included, but from the pyramid on the far northern boundary and goes to, I think right now, to Poplar. Mm-hmm. But what the city of Memphis is trying to do is expand that TDZ to incorporate Mud Island, Bill Street, so we can capture even more revenue. And that those dollars that we capture from tourist development, the taxes, we can reinvest them back into the city of Memphis. Doesn't cost the taxpayers anything. It's a benefit to the taxpayers. Nashville built their new convention center with TDZ dollars.
It is. I've seen it in Nashville. It's
unbelievable.
It's fabulous, and we can do it too.
We can.
And that's what I like is about everything I've seen you do is you're not we can't do this. It's a we can do it.
Yes. Yeah.
And that sort of brings in the TDZ and the TIF. What is that? Because a lot of people are confused about what a TIF is. They see it as a giveaway or not a giveaway. What is that, if you'd explain it?
Well, TIFs are tax increment financing. So what we do is, one thing that we've been doing is encouraging more and more areas to take advantage of TIFs. It's easy to create a TIF district, or the whole area of Uptown Memphis was part of a TIF to see those houses redeveloped in that area. And so you capture tax revenue within those communities, and you take that money and you reinvest to improve upon infrastructure, improve upon building of residential or commercial development. So it's opportunities there, and it doesn't cost the taxpayers anything. You're just capturing revenue that the state put puts in place that is within the legal realms of right. powers of cities can do, and you just take advantage of those. I say all the time, if there are areas in the city of Memphis which needs to be redevelopment, the best way to go after it is to take advantage of a TIF.
Right. You are chairman,
yes.
which you set the agenda on city council. You do a lot of things go with your leadership. What is your overall vision for the city council? What should they be doing under your leadership? What are your priorities for our city?
Well, the one thing that I am really pushing for, more so than anything, is to provide adequate constituent services. We know that there are a lot of people in the city of Memphis, no matter where you live, no matter what your socioeconomic status are, you want someone to listen. So I'm hoping that all my colleagues make sure that everyone who reaches out to us or their office will get an adequate, fair, timely response. So we're working with our staff to make sure they are equipped and they have the necessary tools needed to deal with our constituents. Also, one thing that we're shooting for on the council, we're trying to figure out ways to help combat and fight this high homicide rate. It's an issue, but it goes down finding and drilling down to what the real root cause of these homicides may be. And to me, it starts with Memphis has a high poverty rate, as we both know,
right.
over 30%. And then you also couple that with the lack of opportunities. I tell people all the time, while individuals with felonies can't become gainfully employed, gangs are hiring. They have help wanted signs. And they are saying, well, you can come over here and join this organization. We'll provide you with money. We'll provide you family. We'll provide you all the things that government and all the things that the private sector cannot give you. And what we need to do in Memphis is we don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we can make improvements. We have poor transportation, public transportation in our city, mm-hmm. but we have great technical training programs in our city. We need to figure out a way to get these training programs or get individuals in these communities to these training facilities. I applaud the governor for announcing and saying that he want to expand the program where it allows adults without going to college an opportunity to go to a two-year institution for free.
Right.
That's a step moving into the right direction. That's a step of how we move the needle. It's true, everyone doesn't want to work, but until we fix our poverty problem and until we figure out ways to help felons in our city, we're going to forever have a high homicide rate. That's just my personal belief.
Well, and that means a lot because, you know, we're lifelong residents here and we've seen things change. You've seen things change since you grew up.
Yes.
And I keep wondering, what changed? What happened? Where did we go astray? But one thing is, as chairman of the city council, you see a lot of things going right.
Yes.
Going correct. What do you see, because we always hear about hear about the bad.
Right.
What do you see as going so well with government that nobody ever says anything, nobody ever pats you on the back, they always say, oh, something's wrong. What do you see as going right? What do you see as correct?
Well, the one thing that's really encouraging, more so than anything I've seen, is that you have 13 members on the Memphis City Council. And I can honestly say that of the 13 members on the Memphis City Council, all 13 of them have the passion and they all are working to make our city better. The other unique piece is everyone's racking their brains to figure out how to improve our local economy, how to increase our tax base and tax revenue without increasing our property taxes. Everyone is thinking outside the box. We have a great working relationship that's happening right now with the 7th floor, the administration, the mayor's office. There's a line of communication that's there that hadn't always been there. The council doesn't get blindsided like at one point in time we did. Fortunately for me, I've had a chance to see what it was like in another administration versus what it's like in this administration. So we are in the loop, so we don't have to expect having a surprise happen to us on Council Tuesday, right, and we're asking questions. The other unique part about what you don't really hear a lot about is the fact that we're in a situation right now. The city of Memphis is in a very good position. We're in a position right now where we can turn right into growth, or we can turn left and into a loss of residents again. And I think right now what you see, everyone is willing to go right. And everyone's willing to work towards that mark of getting and making Memphis a great place to live, a great place to work, a great place to relocate your business. And it takes the effort of all of us, all of the citizens in the city of Memphis. You have a responsibility to do whatever it takes to make your city as great as it could be.
Well, the first thing, and what I really enjoyed, I was kind of mesmerized by you talking like that. You have the mindset that we are great. We do have very positive things going on here, and not the mindset of, oh, things are so terrible.
Right.
And that's the first thing that I see you doing as a leader, is bringing that mindset and constantly, because they're so easy to throw stones at something.
It is.
You know, and you're sitting there, okay, this is good. We've got this chance. We've got the chance to do this. Then we'll go to the next part, and we're not going to throw stones, but what is government doing that is not working right now, with the idea not, oh, we're just not going to talk about the problem. We're going to talk about how we can fix it later. What do you see that's not exactly as going as well as you would like?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Nothing's perfect in life. You have to accept the good with the bad. As Robert Kennedy said, some men see things and ask why. I dream things that never were and ask why not. It's just how you look at it. We could look at this glass.
This glass is almost full.
It's almost full.
Yeah.
But to somebody, it's almost
empty. It's a little bit empty.
Exactly. So it's just your perspective on life. I choose to live with the perspective of life will be good. Life is good. Life is what you make of it. But we have some flaws in government. We have one issue, duplication of services. We have an issue in our city dealing with the county. You were over at the county at one point in time as a commissioner, where over 80% of Shelby County tax revenue comes from Memphis residents.
Right.
Is that fair? No, but it's just the way our government is set up. But also we have to look at right now, we're facing some tough and difficult decisions that I think this council or maybe the next city council will have to determine. We have some of the lowest sanitation fees in the country. Mm-hmm. We really need to take a holistic approach to resolving that issue, because we cannot afford to continue to provide the level of service in which we do at the rate at which we provide it for.
Right.
It's not cost effective. We're losing money. And therefore, at some point in time, we're going to have a talk on, should we go up on the rate, or should we create a pay-as-you-throw program? Because some houses may have 300 bags of leaves in front of them, when you may not have a bag of leaves in front of your home. It's tough decisions that we have to make. Also, you have to look at our overall stormwater fees. Memphis have not had a major upgrade on its infrastructure in a long time.
Right.
We're going to be in an eye-opening situation, because we're going to have to invest in our infrastructure. That's going to cost. But we've had low stormwater drain fees. We've also had fees that we are going to have to adjust in the next couple of years to keep up with the pace of replacing some of our infrastructure. But overall, I think that when you compare the cost of living and the services in which you get in Memphis versus what you get in other cities, you will still say, I'm still coming out ahead in Memphis versus moving to another major city.
And I believe you've answered my question is, how can we fix this? And I believe what you've said is communication, not only in between the elected officials, it's communication to the taxpayers as to why we're having to do this.
Yes.
Is there any effort to be able to do that? Because you did a very good job of explaining in 2 minutes, right? Just a minute ago.
Thank you. Well, one thing that I know my colleague, Kemp, former chairman Kemp Conrad, did last year, and which I applaud him, he increased communications within the council office. The one thing that I have tried to do is I stay vocal and I try to stay out there ahead of issues before the issues come and blindside our citizens. So I think ultimately you hit the nail on the head. It's all about communication. If you don't tell people something in the beginning, guess what? They will write their own narrative.
Right.
And a lot of times their narrative is way off basis. So I think that if you communicate it, explain it, and tell them why. We've been comfortable. We've been comfortable in this, in what we pay for so long. But yet we did not invest the money into right. improving upon certain things. Also now with Memphis being as large landmass as it is, it costs a lot of money to maintain those areas. With the loss of population, Memphis hasn't grown in a while. We've actually lost population. We still have to continue those services, the levels of right. service. So it's a lot into running a city. It's not easy. It costs a lot. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of employees. It takes a lot of people stepping up and going above and beyond to make sure that the city keeps moving.
And what I'm hearing is we've got a bargain.
We have a true bargain.
Yeah. And we've got a bargain in a cheerleader with you telling us what's happening.
I really appreciate that. I mean, it's as an elected official, it's my responsibility to tell the citizens of Memphis, whether you live in District 7 or District 1, it is my responsibility as your elected leader to keep you informed and let you know exactly what you should or what you can expect. And anytime you have a question about anything, you can feel free to email any one of us at the Memphis City Council. It's real easy. Our email address is always our first.lastname@memphistn.gov. Or you can go on our website and just click on our picture and email us a question.
So you can click the picture. Mm-hmm. So you know what he looks like. Just click on his picture.
Right.
And that is so refreshing to know that you will be heard.
Yes.
Because so many times you're not heard, or you're sitting on hold saying press one, press two, and you know, but you'll hear people.
Yes.
People can actually come to your office and at
yes.
the city council and talk to you.
Right. Just set up an appointment.
Even though you're the chairman,
yeah.
you will still talk to your constituents.
I will still talk to constituents. I love meeting and talking to people. I think it's important because the one thing that you always want to remember, and my dad shared this with me a long time ago. He said that it may not be a problem to you, but it's a problem to someone else. Mm-hmm. No matter how big and how small you think it may be, you should always remember that may be a major problem to that person. So that stays with me. And so if you just tell me that you're tired of running over a pothole in front of your home, that's a major problem to you.
Yes.
So I need to address that issue as if you just told me your house was on fire.
Right.
So.
Or else... It's a pothole in front of your house.
Right.
Maybe you know you're treating people as if you were treat the members of your family,
right.
and that's what I like about that.
Right.
Well, let me tell you, Memphis City Council has a fantastic chairman Boyd. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching In Depth TV. I'm George Flynn, your host, and we'll see you next time.